Bible student. Now, what I mean by that is the fact that we make absolutely no apologies for what God said or the manner in which He said it. When God specifies the words that He chooses to utilize, it would be presumptuous upon humanity to change those words and to change the power that is invested in the Word of God. When we dumb down and when we smooth over the words that God gave us, then at that particular point in time, it is a sad endeavor indeed. You take away from the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, we welcome you to the program today. And I pray that you are prepared and poised to study, to meditate, that's right, to reflect upon the precious book divine. Now, we have been investing ourselves in a study of some important principles that each generation needs to hand down to the next generation, whether or not that is from parent to child or from teacher to student, from preacher to pew. It does not matter. From one generation to the next generation, there are certain fundamental principles that are absolutely essential for the progress of humanity. And some of those things that we have talked about are the ideal of self-control and temperance. You remember that Paul argued this in front of Felix, that every politician, every generation of politicians needs to have the fear of God put in them with regards to temperance and self-control. Everything revolves around this particular attribute of temperance. Humility is another one of those aspects of principles that we need to relay to the next generation. Resiliency, the aspect of being able to get up again, being able to make mistakes and get up from those mistakes is absolutely essential as a fundamental principle to relate from one generation to another. The one that we shall consider today is one that has been on my heart and mind for some time now, and that is responsibility, taking responsibility. Oftentimes, we will admit that we lack responsibility in areas that we should be responsible for, and thus the need added to that, and we'll discuss this at a later point, is the responsibility to be able to hold people accountable. You see, responsible for something is one thing, but then you must hold people accountable for what they are responsible for. And unfortunately, our accountability system is broken so often. It's broken in our families, it's broken in our churches, and it's broken in our government. We talk a lot and get less things accomplished. And so let's hear after a few announcements, after a song and a prayer, we will talk about responsibility. People who are responsible are reliable. They follow through on assigned tasks and they complete them on time. They are dependable people. Responsible people are dependable people. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that as our time progresses. But right now I want to extend this invitation to you that if you're ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area, that's the northwest corner of the state of Mississippi, just south of Memphis, Tennessee, that you would come by and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Come by and see us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ, and we'll treat you as an honored guest. In fact, as one old commercial used to say, we'll leave the light on for you. I think you'll find this a very friendly and hospitable congregation of God's people. Well, let's see here. If you're listening to us via WJHF 106.9 FM in the Florence, Alabama area, we want to welcome you to the program today, and we want to encourage you to share this information with your friends and your neighbors. But we also want you to go by and see our family and friends at the Jackson Heights Church of Christ. Give them a call for their COVID times of services. And I would be amiss in my responsibility if I did not invite everyone to the 22nd annual for 22 years this January. This congregation has been hosting the Standing in the Gap lectures, and we would certainly love to have you come by and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ as we host Come Now, Let Us Reason is the theme this year, and we're going to be talking about the concept of reasoning properly. Sound reason is absolutely essential. Having a sound mind and being of sound mind is essential for the progress of humanity and for the strength of the body of Christ. So come by and see us January the 27th through the 31st at the Standing in the Gap lectures here at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. You know, it's interesting as I look over the men who will be bringing these lessons. We have 13 powerful lessons that's going to be brought to you by 9 godly speakers. And I believe, I am firmly convinced that this is one of the most needed global subjects for modern man. Now, it's not the only subject. If we just had this and we did not hold people accountable to their responsibilities, as we will discuss today, then it would do us no good, because we would just, if we had this without sound, without the sound principle of temperance, then this would be of no value. So you see how this intertwines and works together for the glory of God and the benefit of humanity. Well, with that in mind, we have a song, and before that song, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father, and we'll have a word of prayer. Join me, please. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before Thee at this time, recognizing and we realize that we do not belong here outside of the blood of Jesus Christ and our obedience to the gospel, our willing choice to submit to thy will, to be thy servant, and to experience the blessings and benefits of being thy children. We seek our Heavenly Father to be pleasing in thy sight always. And we realize that our presence at this hour, with the intent of supplication and intercession and prayers and thanksgiving, are only possible because of the sacrifice and the brutality that thy Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, was willing to endure upon the cross. His wonderful resurrection is thy stamp of approval, and we are pleased to be able to recognize his ascension and coronation as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our Heavenly Father, as we continue with this Bible study today, we ask that you would be with all of our fellow Bible students as we crack open thy word and as we look deeply within thy mind and thy will. We ask that each of us might do our due diligence in our hermeneutics, in our logic, to be able to come to an understanding of thy will for us. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for our brethren, for the New Testament church, and we ask thy richest blessing upon the church. We pray that you would defeat our enemies before us and give us a peaceful path into this world that we might spread the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name that we offer this prayer. Amen.
And walking down the road, carrying such a heavy load, sinner, lay your burden down. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Ain't no people crying there. Ain't no sadness anywhere. Ain't no need to shed a tear. You're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Young folks walking hand in hand, singing with the angel band. Old folks ain't so tired and worn, they're walking on heaven's road. And when you're walking on heaven's road, I gotta lay down my heavy load. Jesus said he'd walk along with me. Praise God, glory, hallelujah. I'm singing all the way. I got sunshine in every day. Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road? Won't you come along and join me on that heaven's road?
All right, my friends, what a beautiful song, what a wonderful opportunity that we have to be able to join within that song, to be able to sing praises to our God, to be able to edify one another. I have been reminded by Sister Jensen, and I appreciate so much her letting me know this, that there are some individuals, newer students, that do not know necessarily how to get into the chat window. And it is a rather simple process, but if you don't know, then it ain't simple, right? And so if you go to thegospelradionetwork.org, if you're listening on some other venue, you go to thegospelradionetwork.org, click on that big Listen Live button in the center of the page. Off to the left-hand side, there is a button that says Login. If you just put your first name in that login, click on that button, put your first name, then you can come right on into the TGRN discussion window. We lost the Facebook window. As I told everyone before I left, that I was going to take a two-week hiatus from Facebook, seeing that they had been restricting free speech, and then would also restrict the free speech of those that they opposed. Then I was going to take, as they had imposed a two-week ban on our president, that I would also take that two-week ban in opposition to their banning of that kind of free speech. Well, with that in mind, so we lost our Facebook. MeWe, I have not figured out. And it seems to me MeWe does not have the opportunity of live streaming our program, and so TGRN becomes the only live possibility. Well, that's radio, it's internet radio, and so what we are doing is I'm using my Cisco WebEx meeting program to record these. It records it up to the cloud. Miss Mona then goes in and grabs it when it's ready, and she will post it on MeWe and also on the Nesbitt Church of Christ YouTube website or the YouTube site. And so you can view it on YouTube, and you can view it on MeWe as well. And so hopefully we'll be able to get those up. Also, I want to make an announcement in regards to the Standing in the Gap lectures. They will be recorded and put up on the Nesbitt YouTube site for later downloads and listening ability, but they will also be streaming live during the actual event. And so it would be great if we have a notation of all of those that are listening to us on that venue as well. So hopefully we can get that into your hands. It's always sad when people want to restrict the gospel or the truth in any sense. If you will restrict one principle of truth, then you will restrict any principle of truth. I have lived by this principle as a preacher for quite some time. And in fact, there was a preacher from Oklahoma that was that I had known, a young preacher. He's no longer a young preacher, but several years ago, he contacted me and asked me my opinion about a congregation that was known for being a liberal congregation. It was back in his hometown in another state, and they had called and desired for him to come and be their preacher. So I asked him a few questions, which I always ask in regards to congregations generally speaking, and I said, will they restrict your preaching of the truth? And he said no, and I further inquired, will they allow you to preach on and marriage, divorce, and remarriage, for example? If anything is going to be restricted today, that is going to be the subject matter. And I said, will they restrict you from preaching? He said, no. In fact, they want me to preach some lessons on that very subject. I said, okay, you have told me that this is a congregation that has children's church. Will they allow you to preach against a children's church and to teach the truth on what the Bible says regarding that dividing of the assembly? And they said, not only do they want, will they allow me to do that, but they want me to deal with that right off the bat. And I said, it sounds to me like this eldership has finally got the ideal that liberalism is leading in a bad direction, and they want to go back from liberalism, and they want to go back to the truth. And so I told him, as I would tell anyone, it sounds to me like you have a moral imperative to go to that congregation and preach the truth. Those elders, if they are honest, and they certainly have demonstrated that, because that was about 10 to 12 years ago, and he's still preaching. Well, I think he's moved on now recently, but not because of any of those items. And so what I'm saying here is that when you restrict one principle of truth, then you will restrict any other principle of truth that you happen to disagree with. That's why the truth must always... Now listen, we might not all understand the facts at the same time. And I might say something that I believe is the truth and doesn't consider some other factors involved in that. That is not a lie, but it is not the truth either. And so I need to research all of the facts before they are presented, and any other thing would be irresponsible of a gospel preacher. Well, with that in mind, we are talking today about responsibility. So what does it mean to be responsible. What is involved in that? What exactly are we talking about when we talk about being responsible in regards to these things? Well, people that are responsible, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, are people that are reliable. They follow through on assigned tasks and they complete them on time. If ever there was a responsible person that I have ever known, it would be Miss Mona, my wife. I have great confidence that whatever I place within her hands, she will get accomplished. Now, she might work herself in the ground in order to do that, but she will get that accomplished. That is responsibility. Even when there are limited capabilities, even very young children can start to learn about responsibility early. We wait far too long to begin the teaching process. I remember several years ago, a young lady asked me, she said, when should I start bringing my child? And she was with child. She had not delivered the child. But she said, how long after I give birth should I start bringing my child to the assembly? And I said, the first Sunday that the child is born. Now, I realize that sometimes there are complications that keep them in the hospital. I also realize that if they're born on a Saturday night, their mother and baby are not going to be there Sunday morning. My point was, at the earliest is when they should be there. I can't think of, outside of some difficulty that would be upon a child, they should be there at that next assembly time. They can learn very early, and they can learn about responsibility. A child's capacity to cooperate. Now think about this. A child's capacity to cooperate begins by 15 months. And their desire to start willingly pitching in starts around 18 months. It's that early. And so when you think about all of the times as a parent, you don't have time for your children to participate, what you're saying, if you're not careful, what you are saying to those children is that their learning responsibility is not that important. And it is, listen, is there any greater responsibility of a parent than parenting, other than his responsibility to God? I mean, that's why there is a young person placed within your care. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but to me, somebody brought it to my attention years ago, and it's ever been pressed up upon the, as Brother Deaver used to say, the chalkboard of my mind, and it is etched in there. I think about the concept of why God chose Mary and Joseph, and think about He's placing redemption, the Redeemer, within the hands of Mary and Joseph. He's placing the Redeemer, the one who would die for our sins, in their care. They're responsible for the early care. And how important is that? A defenseless child needing the helpless or the helpful care of his parents in order to survive, placed within the hands of Mary and Joseph. You know, God has confidence in this couple to be able to. And so when the angel came to Joseph and said, don't fear to take Mary thy wife, what was Joseph's initial response? was to do exactly as the messenger of God told him. There is no complaining, but God, don't you know what people think of me? But God, there's no argument. There's no four excuses like Moses offered in the responsibility to go back to Egypt and to deliver the people. No, it just simply says, the text says, he did what God commanded him to do through the angel or through the angelic messenger. When he was told that the child's life was in danger and that they were to flee to Egypt, what does Joseph do? He takes his family to Egypt. As he's coming back, the child's life is still in danger. They flee to Cana of Galilee. They go up and rather than going where they were intending to go, they went somewhere else at the drop of a hat. You're talking about reliability and responsibility. God placed within the care of Joseph and Mary in regards to that. Absolutely. And in fact, Sister Jensen says, do y'all have Sunday school for children? We have Bible classes for all ages. Now, we are a small congregation, which means that our pool of children are smaller than others. But if we were 1,000 or we are 10 and we have children, then they need to be have some classroom instruction, then we will have that. Yes, we do have those available for us, and because children can learn at a very, very young age. And in fact, in many cultures, parents begin to hone their children's helpfulness at somewhere between the ages of 5 and 7. They're given further responsibilities, right, at that age. Now they're cleaning their own room, or they should be. Now they're assigned tasks around the house. Now it's your job to take out the trash. Now it's your job to make sure that the dishes are set on the table, or that the dishes are cleaned off of the table. Now they're helping with mom and dad do some of the chores on the outside. The more we can involve our children with us in our responsibilities, they will learn responsibilities themselves. And in fact, many times I have stated that the only book that I could author about parenting are all the mistakes that I made as a parent. And I would suggest to you that if there's one mistake that I made, that would be it right there, is interacting early on with my children to be able to encourage them toward responsibility. Now, I'm not saying they're not responsible. I got some very responsible children. But I'm saying they learned that too late from dad, at least. And they should have been more involved in those projects with me, not just telling them to do something. And so involve your children and your grandchildren in those tasks with you. See, this is an important aspect of responsibility and passing it on from generation to generation. These are the great principles of Deuteronomy chapter 6 that... And if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we've referenced this a couple of times, but you will note on this that he talks about a time frame. He talks about there are several great principles. Number one, you cannot teach what you do not possess. And verse number 6 says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. So you have to possess it. You have to believe it. You have to know it in order to teach it to others. And then in verse number 7, he says, "Thou shalt teach them." That's actually a sharpening, a wetting process, as a man takes a knife across the stone. It's the same word that's used in Proverbs 27:17, that iron sharpeneth iron as a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. And that's the word that's utilized there. It's the wetting process, taking a knife across the stone in order to sharpen it. That's the teach. Now the next one is, "You teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk." The word talk there is the most generic term for teaching in the Hebrew Old Testament, and it involves every aspect of our teaching life. It involves singing, it involves just a casual conversation, and everything else in between. And so we talk with them. But notice, when does that generic aspect of teaching kick in? He says, "When thou sittest in thine houses, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." So you teach that there's never a bad time to teach great principles. Never. It doesn't matter whether or not you're in the house or out. It doesn't matter whether or not you are getting up or going to bed. It doesn't matter whether or not you're in the yard working or you're just sitting and relaxing in the evening time. Whatever the time may be, make sure that you teach great principles to the next generation. Now, there are some other principles here as far as bind them as a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Write them upon the post of thine house and upon thy gates. What you will find in the house of many Christians, it's on the front door. You might find a principle stated in a wood or metal a plaque on the as you're entering into that house. There might be a scripture. And you'll find scripture references all around the house. You will find signs of teaching responsibility to children on the refrigerator and other places like that. It might be in the hallway. It might be near where the kitchen table is. In other words, put things up where they can be seen on a regular basis. If I have to pass it every hour of every day, I'm going to remember it a whole lot more. And so the ideal of right there is what is used in places in the Bible that talks about writing things upon a stone. And there are certain things that should be written and etched upon the heart of man, and biblical truths are one of them. And so this is why responsibility is so important. You know, the term boomerang generation, seeing we're talking about generations and responsibilities, there's a term today that is used. It's called boomerang generation. We have, over the last couple of generations, lived in, you have the boomer generation, baby boomer generation, but this is the boomerang generation. The generation after the baby boomer generation is the boomerang generation. And what it describes are young adults who leave home, they try to live their lives on their own, they fail or fall upon hard times, and they return to mom and dad's house. It's like a boomerang, right? You toss it out, it comes right back, right? In some cases, this happens because we're not teaching our young people how to manage money, how to run a household, how to live on, how to live up to the daily responsibilities of life, or even how to suffer through hardships. So we have this boomerang generation to where they come back and live with mom and dad. By the way, that would suggest that if we're lacking in that, it's certainly something we need to pay attention to, right? If we have a whole generation or two that are described by this terminology, and in fact, it's not just that, but how many grandparents are raising their grandchildren because their children are not responsible in the raising of children, you see. And so this boomerang generation, it may not be the parents that come home. Sometimes the parents send the grandchildren home to be raised by the grandparents. And so that's a part of that boomerang generation. And so would it not be better then if we spent more time in the training of our children while they are young to take responsibility when they become adults? And so it's important. You don't wait until a person is 18 and then dump them out on the real world. You have to be in the process of raising adults in that. So responsible people are dependable people in regards to that. In fact, turn with me to Proverbs 25 and verse number 19. And while you're turning there and looking at that scriptural I want to give you what some people refer to as an operational definition. That is, it's a definition that you can see. It's the practical application of a definition. And that is that responsibility or dependability is fulfilling what I consent to do, even if it means unexpected sacrifices. Dependable people do what they say they will do, even when it hurts. Even when it's difficult, they're going to do it because they're dependable and responsible, you see. Dependability itself comes from two Latin words, one that means down or from, and the other that means to hang. Imagine it this way. You're a mountain climber. You're on the top of a mountain or you're on some steep rock face and your foot slips and you're hanging there. You got your grip, your hands, and you're hanging there, but you have nowhere to put your feet. You're just hanging there in the air, basically. Or you've got the rope attached to you and you've fastened it to the rock, but did you fasten it well? Is that rock or is that rock or is that rope dependable? You see, you're hanging down from this rope. You hope, you pray that it is a dependable, that is a sturdy rope, that it's a strong anchor, and that it is secured, fastened to the rock, right? To the mountain. In the same way, can others hang their trust on what you say you will do? Can they secure their plans on your word? Confident that you will fulfill your part. That's true responsibility. That is an extreme example, but that's what we're talking about when we talk about are you a responsible individual? Now, the opposite of dependability is irresponsibility, of course, but inconsistency. That is, think about the church at Laodicea at being hot and cold. Not a good thing. Sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're responsible or not. I remember calling up a preacher one time in regards to his child who was in college on his own or practically on his own. And I remember that his child was not very responsible and dependable in attending services, let alone in the work of the church. And so I gave him a call, and we talked a little bit, and I said, now, brother, I said, I want you to understand that if this is how serious the matter is, I said, if the other brothers in the church were as dependable as your son, we'd have to close the doors of the church building. And he said, well, you hang on, I'll give you a call back. And he called his son. I don't know what the conversation was, but I do know this, that Wednesday night, that son repented, came forward and repented of his sins, confessed his sins, and made a life choice to change at that particular time. You know, sometimes we do have to deal with the inconsistency of others. That will let other people down. People are disappointed, right? They disappoint us. Projects aren't completed. Trust is broken. So listen to Proverbs 25 and verse number 19. Notice what he says. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth. Now think about that. You're trying to bite down on an apple. You got a sore tooth and you forget that it's sore. You bite down on the apple. Oh, it hurts, right? Or maybe you're walking along and all of a sudden your foot twists, your leg breaks, right? He says, confidence in an unfaithful man in the time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. In other words, it's not a good thing. There's no dependability in that. Well, now, before we run out of time, I think it's important that we discuss how to teach responsibility. What are some very practical items that would help us to help the next generation be responsible? And I think sometimes we forget this. We understand it oftentimes in the training of our children. Preachers could use a little bit more of this in the pulpit with regards to the pew. Elders, shepherds could certainly utilize these principles. You know, it's interesting that 1 Timothy chapter 3 talks about the work or the qualifications of deacons and elders. Elders first and then deacons. And it's interesting that in regards to this particular aspect, that when you talk about responsibility, a deacon, now certainly an elder must be a responsible individual. He's going to give an account of your soul. You certainly want a responsible, dependable man to be able to do that. But notice the phraseology of the deacon here in regards to, let's begin in verse number 10, or just look at verse number 10. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. So the first thing is, before you consider a man, you train the man. You see, let him also be proved. You give him some training before you put him into the office and he uses that office of a deacon. That means that you have to give him projects, right? You have to give him responsibilities in regards to that. So you have to, let me put it this way, from parent to child, you have to assign chores, right? If the deacons are handmaidens of the eldership, and they are in that sense, they are to carry out the duties and responsibilities that elders assigned them. That is their role. And so as such, an elder, a shepherd, would do well to make sure that that person is responsible, that that person is dependable before they put him into office in regards to the office or the work of a deacon. Well, look with me at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 23. Here's the Bible principle of the assignment of chores, the assignment of responsibility. Here is the challenge from a preacher, from pulpit to pew. We offer challenges to congregations. And so Proverbs 14:23, in all labor, work, effort, energy, in all labor there is profit. So we need to teach into the child's mind that labor equals profit, you see. In the minds of deacons, in the minds of preachers and elders and members of labor equals profit. In all labor there is profit. Notice with me in Proverbs chapter 12, the book of Proverbs has a great, Solomon wanted his children to understand responsibility. And so in Proverbs 12 and verse number 24, he would say, "The hand of the diligent, it shall rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." And he has a lot to say about work, but he also has a lot to say about being slothful, right? Look with me at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 19. Proverbs 28:19. "He that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons or vanity shall have poverty enough." So the hard-working farmer, the hard-working individual that gets out and works, he's going to have something. He's going to have fruit from that labor, right? That becomes very important. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul is talking to the Thessalonian church about tolerating these individuals that have stopped work. And so he says in verse number 10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither let him eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly." Notice what a slothful or the ability or the desire to live off of other people will create. It will create the concept of disorderliness, working not at all. What are they? Busybodies. And so he says, "Now them that are such we command you and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread, and don't be weary in well doing." And so we ought to teach our children, we ought to teach all those, the next generation, whether that's a parent to child or whatever the relationship is, we need to teach them the principles of work. Because we don't just work for our secular bosses, right? We work for the Lord Jesus Christ. "And whatsoever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." I'm not just working for someone else. Now, I am, but it's not just that. I'm also working for the Lord. And I need to understand that principle, the principle, "Whatever thy hand find to do it with all thy might." There are good things out there. There's work and there's responsibility, and so work hard at that. It is important that we teach our children about the biblical principle of work. Young children are eager to work alongside their parents unless we have taught them otherwise. Now, if we're going to be constantly raising our children to sit in front of a television, to play with devices, to play with their phone, then they're going to begin to begrudge any responsibilities that take them away from that. There is an addictive nature to the screen that can take away from people's responsibility. And so we need to make sure that we are training up our children in the way that they should go, Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. Now, there are some parents that evidently are reluctant to assign their children chores around the home. A lot of them reason that their school-age children face and maintain homework each day, so why add to their burden? Well, they're being taught that things outside the home are more important than those things inside the home. They're being taught that, by the way, if the child doesn't take care of those things, who is? That's right, the parents. Or the parents are going to hire somebody to do that for them. Generally speaking, it's going to be a mother's responsibility. So what does the mother or the parents become to the children? They become nothing more than the slaves of their own child. And they need to bear the burdens of the home. They need to learn that this is a mutual thing that we are engaging ourselves in. By the way, I think we do a disservice to our children when we think that they cannot bear that burden in regards to that. And listen, I'll go so far as to say, which do you suppose is more important to the ultimate development of spiritual principles to that child? That child makes an A 100% in every class throughout every grade until they reach and get beyond college, or that they take responsibility for what belongs to them in the home? Now, I'm not saying that there has to be that choice every time, but what I'm saying is if you had to make a choice. See, here's the problem. Most parents would say, well, no, you don't understand. They're going to get out, they're going to go to college, and with their college is the type of college is going to determine yes, it is. Yes, it is. All that is absolutely true. And they can grow up to be so responsible on the job and lack responsibility in the home. Oh, they'll be dependable at work, but they'll have no dependability when it comes to the home. Really? Is that what we want? Is that, as parents, what we are suggesting to our children? Well, I hope not. So number one, I would say, just a practical aspect, teach your children about chores. Teach them that in all labor there is profit. Number two, and this is the last one, we'll just have two today, But help your children take responsibility for their mistakes. You know, this is a hard one for all of us, no doubt. But listen to Proverbs 19 and verse number 20. Now, we've referenced this before, but think about it in this light. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise at thy latter end. Think about all the times that the wise man Solomon instructed his own children about listening properly. It seemed to be a reoccurring thing with Solomon. For example, in Proverbs 1 and verse number 8, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." How about Proverbs chapter 2 and verse number 1? "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee." Chapter 3, verse number 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Chapter 4 and verse number 1. "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend now to no understanding." We could go on and on. Look with me at chapter 8 and specifically verse number 30. Well, let's begin in verse number 32. "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my door. For For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Yes, we need to be instructing our children. Responsibility is at sometimes it's the ideal of, listen, I've been assigned a task, I'm going to do it. But also a responsible person is when that assignment is not done, when something goes wrong, of taking responsibility for what was wrong. And so owning up to mistakes and failures, we need to teach these to our children. If we do, listen, they need to be honest, and they need to admit errors. That's a part of honesty. Avoid blaming others. That's a part of honesty. Even if they had a partial responsibility in something, we need to take responsibility. Avoid making excuses. This was what got God angry at Moses in Genesis 3 and 4. And we need to learn to apologize when appropriate. An apology is not just, I'm sorry, although that's a part of it, but it's so much more than that. And so I want to encourage us to be responsible, to be dependable, and to teach the next generation, whether that is parent to child, pulpit to pew, shepherd to deacon, or members to the next generation of members. My friends, it's been a pleasure. God bless, and have a wonderful day.